The Forbes Library staff would like to remind you of the incredible resource that you have in your local public library. We have tens of thousands of books for you to check out, music CDs, movies, newspapers from around the region, the state, and the country. We have a wide variety of magazines and free computer and internet access every day. We also have our incredible reference services there to help you answer particularly vexing problems. All of this is free, locally available at 20 West Street in Northampton. So come by and check us out in person or at www.forbeslibrary.org or call 587-1011 for more information.
Every day in the electronic media, people talk, or more likely yell, about politics.
We do things differently.
Our job is to talk about the things that we hope will be of interest to you without all the shouting and anger.
We hope to provide facts and have reasonable discussions about the issues of the day.
That is to disagree without being disagreeable.
Join us every Friday at 7 p.m. for Civil Politics here on WXOJLP 103.3 FM in Northampton or anytime online at civilpoliticsradio.wordpress.com.
This summer at Amherst Cinema, come experience classic summer films the way they were meant to be seen, on the big screen. Each summer classic screens Sunday at 2 p.m., then again Wednesday at 7 p.m. Alfred Hitchcock's 1959 thriller North by Northwest, starring Cary Grant and Eva Marie Saint, screens July 12th and July 15th. Celebrate the 40th anniversary of hilarious cult classic Monty Python and the Holy Grail on July 19th and July 22nd. Audrey Hepburn shines as Holly Golightly in Breakfast at Tiffany's on July 26th and July 29th. The series continues in August with Some Like It Hot, Jurassic Park, Raiders of the Lost Ark, The Graduate, and Jaws. For more information and tickets, visit AmherstCinema.org. Amherst Cinema. See something different.
Leo, can you tell me about the event you're organizing for Bernie coming up?
Yeah, well, I'm organizing it along with a bunch of people at the High Horse in Amherst, and that's a bar right in downtown Amherst. We're doing a Beers for Bernie event. This is a fundraiser for Bernie Sanders' campaign, and that event is going to be on Thursday, August 6th. From 7 to 9 p.m., Thursday, August 6th, 7 to 9. And, of course, it's a bar, so we're encouraging people to stay on and continue the conversation. We're going to have live music. I'll do an update on the campaign, and the response has been pretty incredible. And the staff at the High Horse, the bartenders, the kitchen staff, they're fully on board. They're wearing their Bernie buttons, a bunch of them. They're on board. And it's a good way to, just get people together. This is happening all over the country. In bars and breweries, people gathering for Bernie Sanders. That campaign is on fire, and the best way to quench a fire is with
beer.
So join us. Although we're not going to put that fire out, we're going to fuel it. So join us at the High Horse Thursday, August 6th, 7 to 9 p.m., and I'm sure there will be many other Beer for Bernie events around the valley as this starts to take off.
Who are my neighbors? Tune in to Out There to meet some of them. Out There airs every Wednesday from 4 to 5 in the afternoon with me, Ruthie Woodring. Come with me and my recorder to meet people and plants and think about ways we can share the world. That's Out There every Wednesday from 4 to 5 p.m. here on Valley Free Radio, WXOJLP, 103.3 FM, Northampton. Archived editions of Out There are online at weatherbeard.com/RUTHY. Get out if you can, but if you can't get out, tune in. That's today. We're live in the studio. Dwayne Rainey.
Hello.
And myself, Ruthie. Like that show promo said, come with me to meet some neighbors. Today's show, you're going to meet a lot of my neighbors because I got a whole lot of little clips of things from around town, the bike path, a hike up Mount Tom. You'll meet Alessandro, my housemate, and Diana Riddle talking about compost and the Re Center,
And very nice.
Eli Damon talking about air conditioning. Ava talking about the
I'll
trees.
Talk about air conditioning.
Oh, yes, you will. We got some things to talk about.
My nose is cool.
There's some other little stories, and I might play a little piece about my sister talking about the intentional community Heathcote, where she lives in Maryland. She's not a neighbor, but she's my sister. So let's see. Then we got a bunch of announcements and
someone's neighbor,
etc. So I'm going to start with this little interview with my housemate Alessandro. He's just here for the month, studying English at the International Language Institute downtown. And this interview is actually from when he first got here almost four weeks ago now.
Well, my first impression of Northampton was good. It was a very warm day, I must say hot. And I'm in a classroom with other four students, two from Japan, one from India, and I'm from Italy, so pretty cool, different accents and way of speak. Today I went out to explore more the city, and I saw a lot of shops, a barber shop where I took my appointment for tomorrow at 4:45 p.m. And I had an ice cream, very cold. I have to say that it was very cold inside the store.
The air conditioning.
Outside was very warm. So
what do you think about that?
When we went out to the ice cream store, we were kind of dying from the hot temperature. And then I back home with Tomo by bicycle.
Why are you interested in learning English even better?
Well, I learned English first in Italy for 4 years. And my dream since I was a kid is to live and work here in the US. So I want to improve it as much as I can.
Why do you want to live in the United States?
As I told you, it's my dream.
When you dream about living here, what is your dream like?
A house with a family and kids around me, a wife and a good job. And friends with free visits from my relatives here.
Does it seem like it would be easier to find those things here than in Italy, or how would you compare your
options? Well, I think it would be easier to find a job here, because in Italy we have a crisis and we got some, temporary jobs, not real job for the whole year. But if you look good, you will find something. Here it's easier because...
if you look good or if you look hard?
If you look good. No, if you look hard.
If you look good, you're all dressed up nice.
Well.
If you looking good can help too.
Yeah, the dress helps. And here it's easier because everybody has a job here. It doesn't matter if it is more important or less important. Everybody helps the community in every town or city. And I like here.
That's my 21-year-old housemate from Italy, Alessandro, talking. And Alessandro also makes and sings rap. So here he has one. It's actually written by someone else.
This is an Italian song performed by Erraton under Salmo. This is called L'Isola. And it talks about summer in Sardinia, an Italian island. Very good. So enjoy.
Okay. All right.
Sono in prealbistress, ho bisogno di stress, ho bisogno di una cura, vado in Valle della Luna, smoke fresh. Bevo tanta roba buona con i brividi e la schiena sugli scogli con gli appena, God bless. Dall'ufficio della Levo vado in spiaggia con Marcello, bella socio, questo è il gergo, cerum del nostro verbo, io la vivo nell'inferno. Mi manca il paradiso sardo, tutto il resto è sterco, ma c'è lo smascherato sopra il palco, Bamutone, qui si ferma il tempo e non passano le ore. Fro Peter, questa è l'isola che non c'è, io la raggiungo con l'EasyJet, sparisco nell'intontrere e poi si finisco, fai paesaggi che manco tutti i sogni, affondo la mia mente tra emulare sei suoi volti, mia madre piange perché sono destinato a non far contanti, ma seppellito in una tomba per giganti. And that's it.
Okay.
I know. Thank you.
All right, so next we have... Any comments, Dwayne?
No.
I didn't understand any of that song except for the fresh and the God
Yo,
bless.
Yeah. talk to him about that tomorrow night when he's buying pizza for the town.
Yeah, so next I have an interview with Diana Riddle, who lives in Florence and has been really involved with the Reese Center and also in composting. She's going to talk about both of those things. Tell me about the Reese Center. What is it? How does it work?
It's a committee that started from the Northampton Reuse Committee. And we decided that it would be great to have a place where people could bring things that still had life in them so that they didn't have to go into the landfill and trade them with other people who needed things. So there were people working on this for a long, long time, at least 10 years. And they were trying to get something that was centrally located, but the spaces in the center of town are hard to find. And the Locust Street Transfer Station seemed like it would be a great place for people to be able to swap things. There's the book shed out there, and there's a small table where people exchange things. But there's too much traffic in that area, and the utility vehicles all use that space, so it wasn't working from the DPW's point of view. Mm-hmm. So we were looking all over the place, and the DPW really wanted to help us and offered us the space out at Glendale Road. So there's a transfer station out at 170 Glendale Road, and they're open on Saturday mornings and Wednesday mornings. And we're open just on Saturday mornings for the recenter. And the vision is that right now it's a swap shop and it's diverting things from the landfill, things that can still be reused. People who don't need them anymore can bring them there, and other people who want things for free can come and pick them up.
What kinds of things are coming in, and what kinds of things do people want?
There are all kinds of household things that are coming in, and we're on a really steep learning curve with this. It's the first season that we're doing it, so we're not sure what's going to come in. And we made a long list of things we can accept and not accept as we were starting out, because we were nervous that we were going to get stuck with things that we would then have to pay the disposal fee for, or that just nobody would want, and they would sit around for a long time. So in general, if it's metal and can be recycled, if nobody wants it, then we'll take it. Same with a bulky, rigid plastic thing, like a little kid's swimming pool is pretty safe for us to take because we've got the rigid plastic recycling right there. But textiles, we can't really take because they add up and they can be dirty and they can have bugs and things in them. So sometimes Salvation Army will take those, and there's a Salvation Army box out there, so that's convenient for people. We don't take upholstered furniture, but chairs and tables and things have been coming and going a lot.
What about building supplies?
We take some building supplies. Again, we have to be a little bit careful about what we're going to get piled up there. Mm-hmm. We had Eco Building Bargains come a few weeks ago and clear out some of the doors and things that were good, but we couldn't use them all. They weren't moving. I would love for more people to come out there to see it as a resource so that they would come and take some of the things we have.
Yeah, how is the flow going so far in terms of how much is coming in and how much is going out?
It's evened out a bit. There were some weeks at the beginning when we were getting in much, much more than we were giving out, and that was a little nerve-wracking.
Yeah.
But then we called in Eco Building Bargains, and Salvation Army came and took a load of stuff. And so we're looking for end users who will come and take big supplies if we need them to. The art garden in the Hilltowns have said that they would come and take some art supplies and things.
How about electronics? Do you get electronics or accept them?
We do get electronics. A lot of the electronics are metal recyclable, so we can take those and recycle them if nobody takes them. Mm-hmm. But they've been going, too. They've been coming and going, and sometimes it's a stereo that the tape deck doesn't work, mm-hmm. or one of the CD discs doesn't work or something. But if you want just a radio, then that'll work. Yeah. So,
I was talking with Roger Berman. And he said there was the idea of maybe doing a Skillshare, like having repair nights or something.
We would love for that to happen, yeah. We're still so new at the swap shop end of it that we haven't quite organized that yet. Uh-huh. But yeah, we're hoping to get that together. In the fall, we're going to have an event, probably in September. Yeah, in September 12th, we'll have a recenter event, and we'll sort of feature some of the things that can be done with our recenter materials. So we have a closet of art supplies that are sort of things that people might not know were reusable, but mm-hmm. artists look at them and say, oh yeah, I want that. I'm mm-hmm. going to make a sculpture out of that.
Mm-hmm. How many people are involved in the committee?
There are about five real core committee members that have worked at getting the space cleaned up and sorted out. It was a really rough shed. We had to pour some footings for the walls and things like that. And we did a lot of construction in there and clean out at the beginning. And now we need volunteers all the time for staffing it on Saturday mornings.
If people want to volunteer, what's the best way to contact you all?
We have a Facebook page, and there's also the page at the Northampton DPW site. I've been involved with the Northampton Reuse Committee, which has changed its name a few times, around the closing of the landfill and trying to figure out a better way to deal with our things that we were putting in the landfill. I personally am really interested in diverting organics from the waste stream.
This is such an ongoing, you know, it's like a lifelong commitment. What motivates you to stick with it?
I'm an environmentalist at heart. You know, it's crazy to me that we produce materials and put them underground again when they don't biodegrade. Packaging is really hard for me to understand. I am trying to stay in balance with the earth.
Can you share about what you're working with in terms of organics diversion?
That's an ongoing process. Smith Voc is apparently going to start up their composting project again. They had a really great project going in cooperation with CET a number of years ago.
On Burt's Pit?
Yeah, on Burt's Pit Road. And I was really interested in opening up that site again. And I was working with Jonathan Goldman and trying to get a facility that would at least compost from the Northampton schools. And now Smith Voc says that they're going to do that. So that's great. My understanding of their plan is that they're going to be taking the materials that they produce at the farm and in the culinary department and their own cafeteria at Smith Vocational. And then they'll also include things from the schools. They're nervous about it getting out of hand. They want to start small and make sure that they can manage it properly. Because if it's not managed properly, then all kinds of problems can arise. The smells and the animals that come to feed there.
Anything else you want to share?
I'm interested in helping more residents of Northampton to compost locally in their own yards, because I think maybe that's another way to manage the materials that we produce.
Do you have any suggestions about composters or composting systems that work for different people, yards?
There's so many systems that out there that are customizable. I think everybody could compost. Some people are worried about bears in their yards and there are ways to deal with that, and people are worried about other kinds of rodents and things, and that there are ways to manage that. Smells don't have to be a problem. So I think it can be customized, and that's what I'm starting to think is the way to manage it.
Do you know anything about the green cone?
Yeah, I have a couple green cones. I really like them. Yeah. I use them for dog waste because you can't really use that on your gardens. Apparently, it's really hard to get pathogens killed in dog and cat feces. So you have to be careful with what you get there. But I know that my dog is wormed. Like, I take him to the vet and stuff, so I know that he doesn't carry a lot of pathogens. And I'm not going to reuse what's created in the green cone. But it's been really great.
Can you show me the green cone and,
sure.
and tell listeners about it?
Sure.
So this is the green cone. It looks like, can you describe it?
It's a plastic cone. It's about 2.5 feet high, maybe. It's got a lid that you can lock shut. I don't usually lock it shut, but you can. So
it's kind of like a tapered garbage barrel turned upside down, like the top part of it.
Top part's probably a foot across.
So it's not like a peak kind of cone.
Right.
It's flattened off
on top. Yeah, it's flat on top, and that's the lid, and it's a hinged lid. It does smell a little bit when you first open it. It's a anaerobic digester is what they describe it as. It's double-walled so that of the air comes up inside the inner wall, and the solar heat helps break everything down. I put a little bit of
bacterial starter
in it, which I don't usually do in my compost, but this I don't turn at all.
So this is the dog poop cone.
It is the dog poop cone, yeah. And I use the biodegradable bags just because that's what I use when I'm out walking him. I sort of prefer to not put those in there, but I also prefer not to open them up when I take them home from walking. So if he poops in the yard, I just scoop it up and put it in there straight away. But this is about 5 years' worth of dog poop.
Oh, wow.
And it's not full. So That's pretty neat. So the bottom of the cone is a foot and a half wide.
Yeah.
So there's a basket down underneath that's perforated, and that is buried in the ground, and it keeps things... If you were using this for food waste, you wouldn't want things burrowing in there and getting in there. I don't think they're that tempted with this particular model, but it does allow worms and things to get in at the bottom, so they're still working down on the ground level. I situated it in a place that doesn't have runoff. I wouldn't want the leachate from this going anywhere, really.
Yeah.
But it's here by the rose, and the rose seems pretty happy with it.
Yeah. And it also, it's in a half-sunny area?
I put it purposefully so that it would get some sun.
It needs some sun to cook right. Is that true, do you know?
That's my understanding, yeah.
Okay. I will say that with my face about 6 inches from the cone, I don't smell anything.
Oh. Yeah, with the lid shut.
With the lid shut. And with the lid open, I still don't really smell much.
Yeah, no, it's pretty good at keeping the odors inside. I heard about these from Vermont, and they're very happy with them there. They keep the bears out.
Mm-hmm.
They do food waste composting in these and food scrap composting in these, and they're very happy that bears just can't get in.
Huh. Why don't the bears just knock them over?
They apparently can't. I don't know. You screw these two things together, so once that's buried down into the ground... I don't know. I haven't had bears try to get in mine, but they swear by them in Vermont, where there are more bears. People talk about not wanting anything to do with dog waste, but...
I've heard that dog waste has to be sterilized to kill the pathogens, and there's really not any way to compost it, but... You feel like since you know your dog is, like, tested and doesn't have worms, it's okay.
Right, but commercially, I would love to be able to do something with pet waste, and I don't think you can, because you can't know what kind of pathogens you're getting, and it's really hard to kill some of them.
Yeah.
I would love for more people to come to the Re-Center. There's a lot of really cool free stuff. And
maybe you can give some examples of the awesome stuff.
Yeah, it's changing all the time. We don't generally take in things like beds, but there was a brand new trundle bed that came in that was great. It was a clean, unused mattress and a metal frame and a trundle bed that popped out from underneath it. It was really cool, and someone was really excited to have that for their house. There was a fish fountain that I just put together and got it running, and somebody thought that was neat after it was put together.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of housewares, a lot of kids stuff. Like, kids grow out of their toys and grow out of their things that they want to play with, and other people can come in when their kids are the right age and get free things.
Mm-hmm. So it's a kid-friendly shopping store?
Definitely, yeah. We can't take a lot of baby things because they get recalled and there are dangers about them that we can't be liable for.
Like child seats and things like that?
Right, car seats and cribs are things we can't really take. I have a lot of good luck with putting a free sign out in front of my house with things that people take. There are things that we're not sure we can take. Like, there was somebody that came in with a lawn spreader, like a rolling bin that spreads seed and lime and things like that. And he came and he had it, and I wasn't sure that it would go. Uh-huh. And I sort of reluctantly took it because I thought, well, we can take it apart and recycle the parts of it. And as soon as I was walking it toward the door, somebody else came out and took it from me and walked away and was very happy. So I don't know yet what people will want.
Do you think there's any possibility that might move closer into town in the future?
I think there was a lot of skepticism setting it up about the amount of stuff that we would get stuck with, the amount of junk that would pile up, and that the city would have some kind of another waste problem that they would have to deal with. And I think that we've been proving ourselves to be responsible and be able to manage it. So I think there's a possibility that there might be another home that would be more welcoming after we've shown what it can be like.
And that was Diana Riddle. Talking about the Re-Center, I hope the Re-Center can move a little closer to, like, biking distance to downtown Northampton or Florence.
It's biking distance.
It is biking distance, but not when you're tired.
But for us, on Saturdays, it's just not... I wish they were open, like, more days or one more day.
Yeah.
Besides just Saturday.
It's probably good, though. I don't bring any more stuff home.
Bike lab.
But, so, Dwayne, do you have any timely announcements for us?
Timely? Yes, I do. Climate Action Now, North Quabbin Pipeline Action, and others, a date with the FERC, Wednesday, that's today, July 29th. Save the date and tell others, watch for flyers to post and other information. Everyone needs to show up to the federal regulators. Everyone needs to show up to tell federal regulators that Western Mass says no to the Kinder Morgan fracked gas pipeline. So there's a rally tonight at 5:15 at the Greenfield Middle School and 195 Federal Street in Greenfield. Our theme is Western Mass towns say no to the pipeline. So that's tonight. If you're not doing anything, head on up to Greenfield.
That's in 45 minutes.
But don't get no speeding tickets.
But carpool and see if you can combine errands.
Yes, indeed.
You got something else you want to share, Dwayne?
Real quick. Friday, July 21st, Trampled by Turtles at the Academy of Music in Northampton.
All right. So the next clip I have, we're going to go to the rail trail in Northampton. The Northampton-Florence rail trail. Dwayne and I spent a lot of our lives there.
Oh, yes.
And so yesterday, when I was coming up the path, I just decided to interview a few random people about, you know, what they're doing on the path. It's just a couple-minute clip of random selections.
They just take care of, you know, the satisfaction of going through the bike trail, satisfy the fun and people not getting congestion and trouble. Yeah. Just to pass through. I'm a road man. I'm not that considered, you know, hazardous to the waste and all that, you know. Okay?
All right. Thanks.
Watch out. What do you got here?
So you look like you're in your work uniform.
Yes.
But you with a dog. How is that?
The dog goes to work with me.
All right. You work right
I
back?
Work in the silk mill. Yep.
All right.
And I love the bike path. It's always nice and clean.
My name is Marty Nathan, and I live in Northampton.
And what brings you out on the path today, you and the dog?
Well, we try to do all of our errands by foot or by bike. And I just went to Collective Copies to pick up a bunch of envelopes that they printed for me so that I can send out and invite people to my house for a party to raise funds for the medical care of immigrants, undocumented immigrants. And so now I'm running back, and along the way, my dog Lucy, who's wonderful, gets her exercise. So do I. And I pick up recyclable trash along the way. So we try to accomplish as many things as we possibly can in this era of climate change with everything that we do.
That's so great. Yeah. It's just really exciting to see people out here doing errands on foot.
Yes. I think that I wrote a column once about that started off talking about the lack of parking spaces around the Y, which I always thought was an amazing and a very interesting problem. Uh-huh. I mean, if you go to the Y to get exercise, why don't you get your exercise going to the Y as well, rather than burning fossil fuels to get there and not using up any of your human calories?
Mm-hmm. Are you turning
right?
All right. Thanks. Great to see you. And that was Marty Nathan. You've been listening to Out There on Valley Free Radio, WXOJ 103.3 FM, Northampton, streaming online at valleyfreeradio.org. The next little thing I have, well, Dwayne, you're not going to like this, but we're going to talk about air conditioning.
All right. I love air conditioning.
Dwayne loves air conditioning, and I don't.
I don't love air conditioning. I just enjoy.
And we realized at one point when we were talking about our different perspectives towards it that pretty much everywhere Dwayne has lived, and growing up in Massachusetts, living in Massachusetts, he's had air conditioning. And pretty much everywhere I've lived, like home, school, institution, apartments, like everywhere, Dwayne's had it, and everywhere I have not. So I think that may affect our perspectives.
Yeah.
But I'm from the south, too. You think?
In the summertime when it's nice and low humidity and it's in the 60s or upper 50s, that's fine. That's great sleeping weather. But when it's 80 with 80% humidity, I can't sleep.
Well, fortunately, I got Eli Damon to talk about it, so I didn't have to.
He's going
to
moderate us from now on.
The staying cool in summer. Eli, air conditioning is a pretty popular way. What do you think about that?
Yeah, so I kind of have an ethical problem with air conditioning. I mean, I think that we really should be more tolerant of varying temperatures, and I think air conditioning gets us used to the idea that we can have the temperature like exactly the way we want it all the time. And another thing I don't like about it is that if you use air conditioning, you have to keep your windows closed, and then you don't really get fresh air. Yeah. And I've heard arguments, I'm not sure how true this is, but I've heard arguments that having climate controls, it makes the part of your body that it regulates its own temperature atrophy, and then you really can't tolerate varying temperatures that much anymore. You know, one thing that really bothers me about air conditioning is that it encourages people to settle in places in higher densities than those places can really sustainably hold.
For example,
like all the deserts in the southwestern United States. It might be able to hold a small number of people who like work very hard to support themselves, but it really cannot sustainably hold all the people that are there now.
What are people supposed to do? They live in buildings, in cities surrounded by pavement and made out of bricks and high rises. And would people settle like that if it weren't for air conditioners? What do you think?
Yeah, probably not. I mean, there's a lot of buildings and a lot of cities that would simply never have been built if people didn't feel like they could rely on air conditioning.
What do you do to stay cool when it's hot?
Well, one thing is I'm just used to a wider range of temperatures. If it's a little hot, like, that's okay with me. But also, I take cold showers, or I have a fan and I have a spray bottle, and the fan and the spray bottle do a really good job of keeping me cool. Mm-hmm. I should go swimming more, but I don't.
And that was Eli. Going swimming, I should go swimming more too. If you're hot, Dwayne, go jump in the river.
You go jumping on a lake.
How about give us another announcement, Dwayne? Because I got a whole bunch of things I want to mention before I go to the next clip.
Let's see. Universal Community Voices Eliminating Disparities, the 5th annual Cory Independence Day. New information about Cory's. It says, join us for a day of Cory Independence. Do you have a criminal record? So, Friday, August 7th, from 12 to 7 p.m. at Blount Park, 1780 Roosevelt Avenue in Springfield. It says, Mass Cory Laws changed May 4th, 2012, and new forms are available. The thing that got me on this one was free food. So there's not really, you can contact the program project coordinator, Keith Peters, 413-799-0757.
So there's also, it said there will be lawyer help if people need lawyer help.
Yep. Find out how to seal your records under the new law, which is, for some people, pretty important.
Yeah, I mean, being able to get your records sealed, what can that help you achieve in life? Do you like getting a passport or other things? Do you know what that's related to?
Going to another country, maybe. We don't want him here or her here or them here.
All right.
Criminal.
Another thing coming up is on Monday, this coming Monday, August 3rd, is a surge meeting, the Showing Up for Racial Justice meeting. It's going to be from 6:30 to 8:30 p.m. In the downstairs room of the Unitarian Society in Northampton on Main Street. and some things on the agenda. They'll talk more about their door knocking campaign, and various the door knocking. They've been doing a door knocking campaign to talk to neighbors about racism and related issues, and also to encourage people to put up Black Lives Matter yard signs in their yards. This is an effort that BLM 413, the Western Massachusetts chapter of Black Lives Matter, has, I think, suggested or requested or asked. There's a way that I think BLM 413 said that Surge, which is mostly a white people organization, is a way that Surge could support them. So again, that meeting, that's Monday evening at the Unitarian Society. Also, childcare will be available, and for more information, that's a good question. Probably Facebook or the internet somehow. What else? What you got, Dwayne?
The Trail Mountain Reggae Festival, Saturday, August 1st. Gates open at 11 a.m. The Trail Mountain Reggae Festival will be held August 1st. Admission is $20 in advance and $25 at the gate. Children under 12, admitted free. Mon.
All right. Another thing I wanted to say about the Surge meeting and activity. In the email they sent out, they mentioned that this past weekend was the inaugural Movement for Black Lives National Convening in Cleveland. And so Surge is trying to support that gathering. We all benefit when Black leaders gather, share, build leadership, and strategize. And so, let's see. I'm just going to read this off of the email. Like, one of the Surge values is that there is enough for everyone. And the value states that one of the things that dominant white culture teaches us is to feel isolation and scarcity in everything we do. Surge believes that there's enough for all of us, but it's unequally distributed and structurally contained to keep resources scarce. We can fight the idea and the structures that limit and control global capital by creating a different world together. We believe that part of our role as white people is to raise resources to support people of color-led efforts and to engage more white people in racial justice. So you can support the gathering, the Movement for Black Lives gathering in Cleveland. Even though it happened over the past weekend, they're still trying to recoup funds and pay off remaining expenses. And you can donate. You can donate over PayPal, blmboston@gmail.com. Next, I'm going to play something about the trees. Trees on Elm Street slated for removal.
So there are five little leaf linden trees on Elm Street near Smith College, where Prospect Street comes out. They're in the planting strip between Elm Street and the sidewalk.
Actually, they're by Henshaw Avenue, across from the campus center.
Okay. These trees are slated for removal because they're under utility wires, and to make room for the new plantings outside, cutters this skinned.
It's a house at Smith College. It's the white one they were doing construction on all summer.
You can, when you look at the trees, you can tell that they've already been trimmed back a lot for the utility wires, because they're kind of, they look like someone took a giant pair of hedge clippers and trimmed a line straight up the side.
It's a really bad haircut.
But the trees are big, they're tall. Like, they're taller than the power lines, and they provide a lot of shade. What else?
A lot of habitat for birds and squirrels and other critters.
And water filtration.
Also, that part of Route 9 is very sunny, and it faces due east-west. There's a lot of accidents there at certain times of the year in the morning when the sun is coming up. I don't know, but I think the shade that they provide probably helps with that problem a bit.
To cut down on glare.
Yeah.
There's also a bus stop there, so people often stand there to wait for the bus.
Yep, the 42 stops there. It doesn't have a real bus shelter, so the shade is really nice for people waiting.
Mm-hmm.
It's really sunny there, especially now in the summer, and there's not really any big trees on the other side of the street, even though if you're going to catch the bus at Dranham Green Hall, you have to be on the other side of the street. But I would walk a specific way to be under these trees so that I could have shade. But I didn't think about how much I enjoyed walking under them until I saw a sign that said they might not be there anymore, and now I think I'm really in love with them. Like, I notice them now an extra lot.
Sweet. There's going to be a hearing on Thursday, August 13th at 6 p.m. at City Hall about this. Anyone from the public is welcome to come. Please, invited to come. we speak for the trees.
It'd be great if a lot of people showed up so we can have a good, rational, democratic discussion about whether we really need to take these out.
Yeah, and whether or not, if you don't feel like you have enough information to say that we need to save these trees, it's really good to come just to raise questions like what are the options, and also to remind people how important trees are, so many different functions that they provide to improve the quality of life for not just humans, but everything. It's also ironic that the trees are being cut to protect the power lines when one of the things the trees offer is cooling, so much cooling, and the power lines are running all this electricity so people can run their air conditioners.
And a big, big shade tree casts a lot of shade. It's 10 degrees cooler in the shade. That saves energy. It has to.
I heard once that a large tree, a large leafy tree, can have the same cooling effect as 100 window unit air conditioners.
Wow, that is a lot of air conditioning.
Yeah. It's not just the shade, but it's also the evaporation that causes cooling.
So people should come on August 13th, Thursday evening, to the public hearing. Or if you really can't come, write a letter or an email to the tree warden, Rich Parasiliti, courtesy of the DPW at 125 Locust Street. And he's got an email address up on the Tree Commission's website, on the city website, too, you can email at.
Or if you know of anyone on the Tree Commission, feel free to have some conversations with them.
Go see the trees. Visit them while they're still there. Yeah. Go stand under them by the street. Go at rush hour so you can see how busy Route 9 is and how much protection they offer from people standing, walking their dogs on the sidewalk, from the cars at rush hour.
Mm-hmm. I counted 11 trees that were cut down in Pulaski Park this past month, and I know a lot of people were really upset to see this go, and a lot of people felt like the trees were just cut down before people really had a chance to formulate their opposition. Well, here's some advance notice on these trees.
They put one little sign up right next to the trees. It's really small. You'd have to walk right by it and be looking. Maybe your dog would have to snuff it before you noticed it. So we'd like more people to know about it, not just the people who walk by that little sign.
So I rode by those trees on Elm Street across from the Smith College Campus Center today and looked at them a little bit longer. And I also noticed that the trees that Smith College has replanted, so they're taking them down because they're in the way of the power lines, as well as they planted some other trees to take their place. And they planted 6 glossy leaf triumph elms, which hopefully will grow big and great. And it seems to me like it would be nice if they could let the current trees, if they could just like trim them or thin them as the younger ones grow up a little bit. I don't know what the best solution is, but it also reminds me, yesterday I was at the monthly bike pedestrian subcommittee meeting that I go to at City Hall, and one of the things that came up there was the Pleasant Street is being redesigned, and as part of that redesign, a bunch of different things are happening, like the Northampton Lodging is going to be demolished, another housing and retail space built, and the old Northampton Lumber site is also going to be developed with affordable housing. And so one of the things they were proposing, or that I was told was going to happen as part of this redesign, was, you know, when you come, so if you're coming on the rail trail from, say, the Peter Pan station, and you kind of go up by Frogtown and where Help Yourself is done lots of plantings, then you come down to Pleasant Street.
All those root bumps.
Yeah. I love the black locust trees, but where they make some root bumps. Anyway, you come down the slope, and you have to stop at Pleasant Street, and then the path, there's a crosswalk across Pleasant Street, and then you take a left to continue on the path, and then a right and go up by Gleason Court. Anyway, so where the path comes down to Pleasant Street, there's the apple trees, an apple tree on the right and an apple tree on the left. They're loaded with apples right now, too. They make good apples, too. Mm-hmm. But they're planning on cutting down both of those apple trees. There's still going to be some more planning meetings, and I'm not sure what part of the design phase this all is. But when the Northampton Lodging building, which is on the left when you come to that stop sign, when that gets demolished, they're going to redo the grading. There's a retaining wall where the apple trees are. Because used to the railroad tracks went over Pleasant Street, I'm pretty sure. So that's why there's all that elevation change and stuff there. Anyway,
The plan is to cut down the apple trees, regrade that whole lot where Northampton Lodging is, because the ground floor of the new proposed building is going to be retail space, and they want it like a plaza, more accessible kind of plaza. Anyway, love those apples. This might be the last year of them.
Oh, we better get them good.
But maybe there's something, you know, look at that space and see if you have a good proposal. Okay, so part of the reason they're cutting them down is because of the grading and how the new building is going to be regraded on that lot. Another reason is because there's concerns about cyclists when they come down that slope, coming to a T at Pleasant Street. Many cyclists just keep on riding right through the crosswalk and ignore the stop sign. And it's dangerous. Situation. It's very dangerous. And the idea is that instead of that path crossing directly, that cyclists, if the corner to the left is cut out and sloped a little bit more, the path will actually go left along the sidewalk for a few feet, and then it'll cross Pleasant Street and head up the hill towards the Amtrak station.
Yeah, because that's kind of a zigzag right there.
It is. It's a tight spot. I mean, you got the bus stop right there, too, which makes it extra tight. All right, so...
Hey, what about... We were reading the other day, speaking of trash, and what is it? Lebanon?
In Beirut?
Beirut. Yeah, they closed their dump. They closed their landfill.
Yeah, because it was supposed to be a temporary landfill, and it went on for like 20 years.
20 years.
And then people who lived in the area were like, enough already. You said it was going to be just a short amount of time. Close this thing. And they got it closed.
The town that it was in, they said no more. And so now the trash is, they don't have another site. They're looking for another site, but they haven't found one. And so some of the pictures that I've seen online were just, people are just, the dump truck or the trash trucks have no place to haul.
Yeah.
They can only get filled, and if they have no place to dump, and so the streets are just being littered with just tons and tons and tons of garbage.
Yeah, this is from an article we read online from the LA Times a day or two ago.
Yeah, I looked for something today. I didn't see anything, but they're having to spread lime because of the vermin and trying to keep down the smell. And imagine that. Imagine like if New York City, however they dispose of their trash, which probably in the Atlantic Ocean, but they just said one day, no, we have nothing. I don't know how they recycle over there in Lebanon, if they have any like recycling like we have here.
Well, a lot of places it's better because it's more hands-on and the stuff has value instead of just being such a disposable economy and things.
Yeah, but from the pictures that we saw, there was just trash bags.
Yeah, piling up and piling up.
Trash bags.
I like to...
I'm glad I'm not in Beirut.
I'd like to think human beings can stop making trash.
Somebody will get rid of it.
Okay, so the next thing I have is the other day... My housemates and I took a walk Sunday. We took an afternoon bike ride and walk up Mount Tom, Mount Naugatuck part of Mount Tom. And at the very top of the mountain, it was really great. We ran into a few other people. They were also out for a Sunday hike. So what brought you up here? Anybody?
Hiking? Yeah. Well, we live down in Connecticut, so we just took the day out just to come out and get some fresh air.
And walk 20,000 miles around.
Would you recommend that people take a hike up here?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it's beautiful up here. Yeah, a lot of different trails, a lot of different...
I would want to live in that house if I could.
The ruins?
Yeah, it's pretty neat over there.
Yeah.
But a lot of different areas to stop and nice lookouts. And
too many bugs.
Yeah. Prepare for bugs.
Yeah.
Okay, thanks for the advice.
Bring the bug spray. All
right. What brought you up here today?
Today we got both our days off, so we're trying to explore around. Mm-hmm. And I'm pretty new to the neighborhood. Uh-huh. We're trying to explore. And my friend, he said this is a pretty cool place to come.
Cool. Where are you from? Where do you live?
New York. From New York.
Amherst, actually.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Headley.
Would you recommend this Mount Tom to other people?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. This is confusing, but the fun part is that you got to...
Be closer to nature, enjoy...
Yeah.
People often talk about environmental issues, and I think it's only when you're in it, when you really kind of be close to it, then you learn to appreciate reading it from the news or hearing from other people. You feel like you may get it, but it's only when you're in nature do you really get a sense of what we talk about. So I think that's kind of what we appreciate about wandering out into this woods.
This guy's got a purpose. I just came out here just to have some fun. Right?
Thanks, guys.
For sure.
I like here. It's very nice, windy, fresh. The perfect day during the summertime. Yeah.
Would you recommend it to other people?
Hell yeah, absolutely.
It's a easy, well, not easy. That part of Mount Tom, the Mount Naugatuck part, which is the closest part to the Connecticut River, if you live in Northampton or Holyoke, it's a really easy way to get there. Like, you can take the bus down Route 5, you can take the B-48, and then there's an access point on... By the Oxbow, yeah. My favorite place to go up is...
Power lines by the Oxbow.
It's power lines by the Oxbow off of, East Street.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, I have another short little story. I'll just tell this story. The other day, I went to see some friends on Bliss Street, and it's a quiet, well, parts of it. I was on the quiet part of Bliss Street, and I was biking back home, and I biked around the corner, and I heard this man's voice say something like, "Hey, help me, over here." And I looked, and there was this older man that was lying on flat on his back in his garage with the door open. He kind of had his head tipped up and was waving at me, so I biked over, and he said, "Can you go tell my neighbor across the street that I've fallen again?" And he wasn't moving at all except for his head. And I said, "Okay." So then I rode across the street, and I was like knocking on all the doors of the neighbor's house, and I couldn't find anyone home, and I finally was wandering through the backyard and found him. He was backing his riding mower out of the shed with his earplugs in. I, like, waved at him, got his attention, and told him. There was also another neighbor right next door that was mowing his lawn with kind of a loud mower. Anyway, so the neighbor, he and I went back to the guy that had fallen, and just, I don't know, we tried to help him up, but he thought he had broken his leg, and there was, he had a little bit of blood on his back. Anyway, so I think the neighbor called the ambulance or something. But it just made me think that I was just really grateful that I had the ability to hear what was going on. Because there's lots of people and houses, and there was some car traffic in that neighborhood. So, yeah, keep your eyes and ears peeled for when you maybe need it.
Your eyes peeled and your ears open.
Oh, yeah.
Now, if you had a Walkman on, you wouldn't have hurt him. You just would have waved back as you rode by. I hope he's doing all right, though.
Hope he's doing all right. All right, how about the bike lab?
I found a bike today. It looks so good. Why did you throw it away?
You want to learn to fix your bike? How to keep it tuned up so it's there for you when you need it? Or maybe you know already, but you just need to borrow a bike-specific tool that you don't have. Well, come to the Bike Lab.
Almost every Saturday since 2004, from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m., here in Northampton at 12 Northern Avenue.
Come with your bike or your questions.
And your willing attitude.
Spare parts scavenger hunt every weekend.
Being up at our Bike Lab in Northampton, y se divertirá mucho, le enseñará muchas lecciones cómo arreglar bicicletas.
All repairs guaranteed to the end of the driveway.
Details are online at pedalpeople.coop. That's the Saturday Bike Lab at 12 Northern Avenue, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. They say freedom isn't free, but at the Bike Lab it is.
Ya súbase a la bici, compa. Trépese a la de montaña, la bici urbana, la bici cross. Lléguele a la bicicleta, ya de menos a la eléctrica o a la estática, ya no hay tos. Llegaré pedaleando en el viaje de allá para acá.
You've been listening to Out There on Valley Free Radio, WXOJ LP 103.3 FM, Northampton. Stay tuned for Democracy Now! Up at 5 o'clock. Next week on Out There, I'm going to have an interview with
a few people from Mixed Race Mixtape. They're doing a performance at Hampshire College on August 8th, I believe, but they're going to talk about their show and their work. And I'm going to play this off of their website. This is part of their, this is like a preview kind of thing, a part of their show called Ambiguously Brown 101.
To Ambiguously Brown 101, a vocabulary for the ambiguously brown. Shall we begin? I'm sorry, I said, shall we begin class? Thank you. Ambiguously brown. An individual who falls outside of the black and white binary of identity politics in the U.S. includes, but is not limited to, those whose origins are rooted in Latin America, the Middle East, North Africa, East and South Asia, and unfortunately, United States indigenous population is the only group that's actually from here. And of course, the mix with any of the above, with any other racial or ethnic category, yes, are a word usually emphasized in a series of questions regarding these individuals, perplexing, confusing, or ambiguous use of language, cultural ties, and physical appearances. Class, can we think of any examples?
What are you?
Yes.
Where are you from?
Oh,
one more. Where are you really from?
Thank you. Now, people tend to get very creative with other ways of asking the same question, students.
Hey, bro, what kind of blood you got?
Thank you.
Language
this being where you're from. Definitely. And my favorite.
What is your country of origin?
Dude, that's not cool. He's from Burma.
What the
sh... very good, class. Excuse me. Other. Even if this individual is mixed with European white, they are considered by U.S. dominant narrative as not white and treated as so. See, one drop rule, Japanese internment camps, and Latino threat. Last but not least, context. The most important thing to take into consideration when trying to see how these individuals will be viewed and how they view themselves.
That's a little excerpt from Mixed Race Mixtape. That's who I'm going to be interviewing for next week's show on Out There. Thanks for listening today. Democracy Now! Will be up in just a minute.
Piensa usted,
será porque aquí
no hablamos inglés.
Ah.